فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا يسخر قوم من قوم عسى أن يكونوا خيرا منهم ولا نساء من نساء عسى أن يكن خيرا منهن ولا تلمزوا أنفسكم ولا تنابزوا بالألقاب بئس الاسم الفسوق بعد الإيمان وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من ستر مسلما ستره الله في الدنيا والآخرة أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Most respected elders and brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created mankind as social creatures. Allah has created in them the natural inclination to interact, to socialize, be it with their family, friends, and on various levels in society. And because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given man varying levels of understanding, different likes, dislikes, so at times his interaction, his socializing with others leads to misunderstandings, leads to disputes, leads to arguments. And because of these disputes, man tends to fall into great problems, worries, and at times even leads him to depression. In Surah Al-Hujurat, which the Mufassireen have termed as Surah Al-Akhlaq, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the guidelines of how a person can live peacefully within his community, within his family. In the first part of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions ways to prevent disputes from arising. The second part of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about that in the case where a dispute has to arise, a fight has to break out between two groups of believers, how a person should go about rectifying and resolving that dispute. And the third part of the surah, which is inshallah our point of discussion, speaks about those qualities which should be avoided. And the reason being is that these qualities are generally a means that will lead to disputes, fights and arguments. So the first point that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibits us from, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the believers, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا يَسْخَرْ قَوْمٌ مِّن قَوْمٍ عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُونُوا خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمْ. That, O those who believe, a group from amongst you should not mock at another group from amongst you. So what does it mean to mock at another person? This is to make apparent the fault, the weakness in the other individual, and to make it a means of jest and a means of laughter for others. So finding that fault and making it a means of mockery, making it a means of others laughing at that fault and that weakness in the other individual. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the reason why a person should avoid mocking at another person. عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُونُوا خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمْ. It is possible that that person who you have mocked at, or that group that you have mocked at, is better than you in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the importance of this command can be understood that unlike other places in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a general address to the believing men, inclusive of the believing woman. But here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically mentions women individually. وَلَا نِسَاءٌ مِّن نِسَاءٍ. And nor should women mock at other women. And the reasoning being the same, عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُنَّ خَيْرًا مِّنْهُنْ. It is possible that those women that they have mocked at are better than them in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is one reason that it highlights the importance. The other aspect the Mufassirun explained, that why here specifically male to male and female to female was mentioned, is that because interaction between males and females is impermissible. For a person to socialize, to interact with another non-mahram woman is not permissible. So this situation is not a situation. Then further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَلَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ, and do not find fault with yourselves. The literal translation being that do not find fault with yourselves. The reason being is that by a person finding fault with another person, picking on some weakness, some deficiency in the other person, that will lead that person to find some fault and weakness in the person that found the fault in the other. So thus, by him finding fault in the other person, it has led him to expose one of his own faults and weaknesses. The other explanation the Mufassirin give is that a person is prohibited because the believers are like one. The believing men and women are like one. And by a person finding fault with his brother, it is as though he has found fault in his own self. So this aspect, which has become the norm of today, naming and shaming people, this is clearly against the teachings of deen. In the hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has explained to us what is the spirit of deen. Man satara musliman satarahu Allahu fi dunya wal akhirah. That person who conceals the faults of another believer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will conceal his faults not only in this world but in the hereafter. One is a person is disgraced in this world, but even worse than the disgrace of this world is the disgrace of akhirat. That is why we find in the Quran Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us to make dua, وَلَا تُخْزِنَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, that, O Allah, do not disgrace us on the day of Qiyamah. That disgrace will be the worst disgrace. A person will be before the entire creation. And in this hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us a very simple way for a person to safeguard and protect his honor and dignity, not only in this world, but in the akhirat as well. Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, يُقَذَى فِي عَيْنِ أَخِي, that one of you sees a blade of grass in the eye of his brother, yet he fails to see the log in his own eye. In other words, a person sees a very small and minute fault in the other individual, but because of him focusing on the faults of the next person, he fails to realize that he has major faults and weaknesses in his own life. As one of the kings of India, he mentioned some poetry, the summary of which meant that when I began to reflect over my own faults and weaknesses, there remained no evil person on the face of the earth. So by a person focusing on his own faults and weaknesses, it will make him realize that he has much room for improvement in his own life. And by means of that, he will also be safeguarded from finding fault with the next person. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on further, وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ, and do not use evil nicknames for each other. Do not use bad titles for another person. So again, this generally happens when there is a fight, when there is an argument between two individuals. And now to insult the person, one uses an insulting name or a title or a nickname which is abusive. So this is something that has been prohibited. Yes, if a person has a certain nickname which he is comfortable with being called, and it is not said with the intention of insulting the person, then it will be permissible to address the person by such a title. Then further, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اجْتَنِبُوا كَثِيرًا مِّنَ الظَّنِّ فَإِنَّ بَعْدَ الظَّنِّ إِثْمٌ. And O those who believe, refrain from a lot of suspicion and doubt. For verily, some suspicion, some doubt is sin. So when a person has some disagreement with someone, then Shaitan will put certain doubts and suspicions in his mind, certain thoughts in his mind. And many a times, these doubts, these suspicions, have no reality to it. Now person, he thrives on that doubt, and he begins to believe it is a reality. And then that leads him to many other faults thereafter. He now begins to insult the person, find fault with the person, then speak ill of the person in his presence, then in his absence. So it all starts off with the mind. So this is important, that a person safeguards and protects his mind from having evil thoughts regarding the next person. In one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has addressed the believers with very firm wordings. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentions, Ya ma'ashara man amana bilisanihi wa lam yadkhul al-imanu qalbahu. Oh those who have accepted Islam, who have believed verbally, and who iman has not entered their hearts. لا تغتابوا المسلمين ولا تتبعوا عوراتهم. Do not backbite the believers, and do not pursue and search for their faults and weaknesses. فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ يَتَّبِعْ عَوْرَاتِهِمْ يَتَّبِعِ اللَّهُ عَوْرَتَهُ. For verily, that person who searches for the faults of others, Allah will take him to task for his own faults and weaknesses. وَمَنْ يَتَّبِعِ اللَّهُ عَوْرَتَهُ يَفْضَحُ فِي بَيْتِهِ. And that person who Allah takes to task for his faults and weaknesses, Allah will disgrace him in his own home. So in this word, in the wordings of this hadith, we understand that backbiting, speaking ill of another Muslim in his absence, and searching for the faults of the next person, of another believer, this is indicated in the hadith as a sign of nifaq and hypocrisy. It is a sign that iman has not entered the heart of such an individual. So this is how important it is for a person to safeguard himself from these two things. And further on in the hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has mentioned that person who pursues the faults of others, then Allah will take him to task for his own faults and weaknesses. And that place which is normally his sanctuary and safety, where his honor and dignity is most safeguarded and protected, his own home, in that very place also his honor will not be safeguarded. Allah will disgrace him even in his own home because also of others. Then further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. And you should not backbite each other. In one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, أَتَدْرُونَ مَا الْغِيبَ. That do you know what is backbiting? So the sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum replied that Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam know best. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then mentioned, what is the definition of ghiba? ذِكْرُكَ أَخَاكَ بِمَا يَكْرَهُ. It is to mention something regarding your brother which he will dislike upon him coming to know of it being mentioned. So it is to mention something in his absence which will cause him some difficulty, which he will not be comfortable with being mentioned regarding himself. So at times we console ourselves and we say that, no, I do not speak ill of the person behind his back, but rather I tell it to him to his face. So this is something that has already been prohibited in the beginning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had addressed the believers saying, وَلَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. That do not find fault with yourself by addressing the person's faults in his presence. That has already been prohibited. Yes, of course, if a person wishes to guide someone, advise the person with wisdom, then with that intention of highlighting to him his faults so that he can refrain from it, that is a different matter altogether. So here, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned it is to speak of the person in his absence, something which he will dislike upon him coming to know of it being mentioned. then unlike the other prohibitions mentioned in these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave an example to show what an evil deed ghibat and backbiting is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives an example to understand how despised this act is. أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَن يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُهُ. Does any of you wish to consume the flesh of his brother while dead? Then you would most certainly dislike it. So imagine the scene, there is the body of one's brother that is lying before one. And now a person goes and he starts to consume from the flesh of that dead person. This is something that is despicable, it's something that we cannot even imagine, we cannot even bring to mind. The ulama explain that just as when a person consumes from the flesh of this dead person, that person is dead. He cannot feel anything. The harm comes to the one who is consuming the flesh. In the like manner, when one speaks ill of another individual in his absence, the harm is coming to the one making the ghibat. Together with this, the ulama explain that it is a sign of cowardice that a person speaks ill of others in his absence. Because had the person been present, he could have defended his honor, he could have mentioned something in his defense. And because of this, that the person is not present, this sin continues for lengthy periods. A person goes on talking and speaking this ghibat and backbiting regarding the other individual, and even the most junior person will backbite and speak ill of the most senior person, because that person is unaware. Together with this, the ulama explain that many a times people do not even consider it to be wrong. And because of that, this sin is committed even in sacred places, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and at times even committed in sacred times in the blessed month of Ramadan. So this is something that is extremely important for us to be cautious of. It is mentioned regarding Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi that once it was mentioned that Sufyan Thawri rahimahullah mentioned that Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah is a very intelligent individual. And then the answer was given, the reason was given, that because he does not speak ill of others in their absence, he refrains from ghibat, because he knows how to safeguard and protect his actions from being distributed to others on the day of Qiyamah. That because of one speaking ill of others, a person violating the rights of others, on the day of Qiyamah, he will have to pay with the currency of his a'mal and his actions because of violating the rights of others. So these qualities, in summary, whether it be mocking at another person, finding fault with another person, using evil nicknames, titles, then having suspicion and doubts and evil thoughts regarding another person, pursuing the faults and weaknesses of others, and finally backbiting, these are things that inevitably and most certainly lead to disputes going out of proportion. And because of these evils, at times a small dispute can become such that reconciliation between these two parties becomes almost impossible. So it is important that we as believers refrain from these things, as these aspects are the core, root of the problem, that by means of which if a person safeguards and protects himself, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him peace and harmony in his interaction, whether it be in his home, in his family, whether it be with his friends, whether it be in his workplace, and whether it be in the community in general. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to safeguard and protect ourselves from these wrongs, and grant us peace and harmony in our interactions. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.